the Lord sees us, and He sees our heart, and He sees everything we need, and He sees even why things are happening to us. Even though I may not completely understand everything that's going on with me, the Lord understands everything that's going on with me, and He knows the places I need deliverance, or things knocked off of me, or where I need somebody to come alongside of me and see it for me. You know, sometimes I can't see it. And I was prayed for, and the Lord took this whatever it was out of my heel. He just removed it, and in the removing of it, He also showed some things that actually built me up and made me stronger in an area that I did not see, that my leaders and my pastors were able to see for me, and I received that from them. And I would just encourage you that the Lord is good, and He is always there ready to heal. And He has put people in this body. He has put people in this body that at times when you can't see, they can see for you. When you can't see, they can see for you. Sometimes you don't even know what's going on, and they can come up and give an encouraging word or just say, hey, what's going on? And the Lord can open your heart, and you can respond, because He always has something good for you. He always has something good for you, and He wants us whole and healed. Healing has been in my household. Healing has been in my household, and I claim it over my whole household. I watched my husband be healed. You know, I prayed over my husband, and my husband's healing was just off the charts miracle, something we'd never experienced before. And I always thought healing was great, and I believed in it, but I always thought it was for somebody else, for some screwed up reason. I never took it for me, you know. Even though I even prayed over my own husband and watched it be prayed over here and watched that happen. And I would just encourage you that the Lord loves you that much. He loves you, and He knows you down, deep down inside, what you need. He knows every little pain, every thought, every place that you're hurting, whether it's emotional or physical, He knows. And He's just waiting for you to come to Him. And He has put people here who He uses, and He uses as His instruments, you know, and they lift you up. They lift you up, and they lift you up for that healing. And then God wants to use you. You know, the Lord wants to take us from glory to glory, and then glory, and then glory, and then glory. And I don't want to stop the glory until I am with Him face to face in heaven. And I expect that because He says so, and I believe that. So I thank You, Father, for Your healing, and I ask You, Lord, just to pour out Your healing on this body. Lord, open up hearts here. Open up hearts to hear the words of those that counsel, and those that give them good and wise counsel, that they would hear it, and that they would take it to heart, and they would see that it is their Father in heaven that is speaking to them, sometimes through other people, sometimes through the own voice in our heart. But we thank You, Lord. You never stop speaking, and You're always here ready to heal, ready to make us whole, because You want to raise up this generation and raise up this church to be Your hands and Your feet. And Lord, to do that, we need to be healthy. We know we need to be healthy. We want to be healthy in You, God. We know that You're lifting up, You're building up our muscles. You're building up our muscles to go to each other and to receive counsel from each other and to give counsel always in love. And Lord, I thank You, Lord, that You have placed this body here that is willing and able to listen for Your voice and to hear it, God. I thank You. I praise You, Lord, and I thank You. Just You blow me away. Thank You, Lord.
Glory to God. You know, she would keep going. I don't know where she gets that. Maybe it's that transferable anointing. It's like you can't stop, you know. The Lord is just overwhelming and just moving through us. And Joe has a word as well, something the Lord did for her. She's going to share with you as well.
So I had been having problems and never really been able, like Kim had said, never really been able to receive healing for myself or stand for healing. I mean, I knew it in my head that it was all good for me, but I never could do it in my heart. And so recently I had, at the beginning of summer, some inner healing. I had given a testimony about that and been able to stand for healing and receive God's healing. And a couple days ago, I'd received some healing for a headache that I had been brought on, a migraine. And this is something I'd been struggling in the past, and I hadn't had any problems with it recently. And then all of a sudden, it just, bam. And the Lord's so good and so faithful to us that, you know, He not just healed my body, but He healed my heart to be able to stand for the things of His kingdom, to be able to stand for the things that are definitely in His kingdom, that health is in His kingdom and it's for us, and able to say, no, I don't receive this sickness, I don't receive this headache, and be able to say, yes, Lord, I receive Your healing, I receive Your health, and stand for that. And I called Mary Pat and she prayed for me, and it was like gone. I mean, like, because I had it in my heart. I mean, the Lord stored it up in my heart to be able to say, yes, Lord, thank You, Lord. It's for me. Thank You, Lord.
You know, when we hear testimonies like this, it releases the very thing that God is already known for, who He is, more of His nature and character in our hearts. He's saying, I just want you kids to believe. I've already done it. I've already accomplished this at the cross. I just want you to step in without everything else getting in the way. Oh, yes, but. He says, leave the yes, but off. Give your brain a break. And the Lord will continue to do it. Some of us step back and think, I don't know about this. I'll just grin and bear it. And yes, I'll pray and say, God, do something. And, you know, the Lord's saying, don't miss out on what you have. Here's testimonies from two people who love Jesus, who dared to believe and dared to step in to believe the very things that we're saying. And we're amazed. Like, oh my gosh, it happened to me. It's not just for my husband. It's not just for somebody else. Oh, that's so good. Yay, God. Sometimes we think, well, you know, I just need a little more healing. If I just get some more healing, and then I can step in. And you know, there's an aspect of truth in the sense that God is saying, I want to get your brain out of the way and clear out the lies so that you can believe the truth. And that's true. So that aspect is true. But God is saying, if you will allow me to just have everything, everything, mind, will, emotion, just give it on over. So this free will stuff just becomes really a matter of yielding. God will allow us and take us into that glory realm, into that glory zone, all of us, right now. So some of us might be thinking, yeah, well, I'm just feeling bad, or I'm just not there, and that's for somebody else. I just don't, you know, oh, isn't that great? Let's just worship some more and be quiet here. I'm telling you, this is worship to the Lord. Oh, so many times we step into something that's just meant to take our lunch. We step right into it. Or it steps towards us and says, hello, I'm visiting. And we don't know what to do, so instead of going to Him immediately, we read a book, or we listen to somebody else, or we freak out inside. And we think, what do I do? And the Lord says, I'm here. Oh, that's so true. So true. We get wrapped up in our own thinking, and even some of the opinions of others, of what they've been through and where they've gone. I'm telling you, when I was at one of the lowest points of my life many, many years ago, and people came to me with good intention, counselors and all, they came to me. I didn't go to them. Not against that. It's led by Holy Ghost completely. However, they came and they said, here's a book, here's this, here's that. And I said at that time, I believe led by God for me, and talking about me, but I really believe there's truth here. I said, you know me. Read my word and stand on it. Watch what I do. I will turn you upside down, inside out, and set you on fire to go to the nations. What do you think about that? In the middle of great heartbreak, in the middle of tragedy, it was destroying, trying to destroy me, my family, very hard. And God said, believe me and trust me. Watch what I do. Oh, so I know His word is true, not just because He said it, which is enough, but also I've experienced that. And God says, step into that which belongs to you today. Don't allow the vain philosophies and deceits and confusion of the world to take you even for a moment. Shikaraba. Oh, I just want to say briefly, catch it. Don't be distracted by some of the little ones who aren't quite with us here. Listen, we had a wedding yesterday, Carl and Darlene. It was an amazing move of God. It was amazing, not because of Carl and Darlene, but because of God, and they're amazing people too. Just tune in for a minute. And when they were sent off into the sweet by and by of whatever happens after the wedding and reception, they were encouraged to just believe God. Just believe God for everything that was spoken over them, everything that they've received, everything that they know to be true from the cross, no matter what their mind tells them, no matter what their brain tells them, no matter what their emotions tell them, and they will walk in full freedom. It's true. And God says, do you believe this morning? Shikaraba Sunday. Hey, I'm going to ask Ina to come on up here. She's one who dared to believe on Tuesday. Ina and Tom are new to the body in recent... Actually, they came when we were in Ghana. I was like, oh, this is cool. And so I got to meet them after all the adventure, post-Ghana adventure. Ha! Huh. And I just love these two. I love their family. And Tuesday night was a phenomenal night in the spirit. It always is. But boy, Tuesday night really rocked this woman's world. So I get this email in the morning. It's another testimony. Okay, so listen up. Ha! Huh. And we're doing this now because God said so. It's like, well, isn't this the message? Yes, this is part of the message, Glory. Do I think it's good to try to come if you can on Tuesday? Yes. Ho, ho, my, my. God is doing something. So anyway, I got this awesome email. I even printed it off to read it again this morning. Here's what it says. Wow. Wow. I was like, oh, I love emails like this. I get enough that don't say wow, but, you know, this was fun. Wow, 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 I'm still, whatever you were spinning, I don't know, I can't quote it, but it was just so cool, because this woman stepped in to dare to believe something that looked a little odd, maybe, or felt a little different, or whatever. The Spirit of God was moving, He had a fun twist and turn, which is just who He is, and so I'm going to ask Ina to share whatever she wants, whatever that would be. So there you go, girl.
Yeah, Tuesday night, we've been coming... 2 months now, about, and then, I come from a background, I guess my education was a Toronto Blessing, and all that stuff is a cult. So I kind of like, okay, what is all that? And this movement, I guess apostolic movement or saint movement, you want to call it, is new to us too. We've been to a few conferences, so I've never been slain ever in my life. I'm on the floor. Slain on the floor. I look at those people. Okay, those are special people. They were like crazy people. That's not for me. So, but I guess I come to a place, 2 months of being exposed to everything and all the things that I'm hearing. I'm like, I want that. I want that to feel you, to feel God the way people feel around me. You know, everybody's over here. I mean, in this church, it's just, for me, it's a mind-blowing experience because everything is new. So anyway, on Tuesday, I guess what I want to say is you don't have to be holy. You don't have to be sinless. You don't have to be clean or healed. I still have a lot of healing that I have to go through, but I was just so desperate. I was on the floor there sitting and listening to Pastor Mary Pat saying, you know, this is the time. So I was like, I just want that. I'm so desperate for you. I just want it. I don't care if I bark like a dog. I don't care if I... on the floor crazy and jumping. I really don't care. I just want to feel you. And I guess you prayed for me and I was like on the floor and I was laughing. And then of course Andy and Nikki came to me and they said, you're it, you're next. I'm like, oh, you know, and then I was slain again. I fell, like really fell backward, and I was laughing for about 2 minutes, 3 minutes. And the third time I was here, my husband was talking to Pastor Bill. It's the end of Tuesday night. And, you know, they were just talking. And I was like this. And then Pastor Mary Pat saw me. And then she said, okay, more, more. And then I just fell back on the floor again and just laughing again. I couldn't get out. My husband was saying, oh, you're drunk. You need a wheelchair. So it's just what I can say. The experience is something that I don't deserve at all. It's something that in a million years I don't deserve, but it felt so, it's something clean, something so pure, something so holy just came upon me. And that's like the verse, the joy of the Lord is my strength, kind of leap out and said, when you have that experience, like nothing else matter, nothing else matter. So I want more of that. And one more thing, I just want to thank you for Pastor Mary Pat and Pastor Bill. I think to have this kind of experience, to be one of the, I guess I would say the sheep or the children here, they as the leader, they've gone through a lot of sacrifice and a lot of hard work. I just want to honor them for providing this kind of space for us to experience.
Jesus, give her more. Tom, do you have anything you want to say? Dude, I know there's nothing planned here, so I don't know. This is so cool. She just says she's hungry. She said in her email, oh, I just want more. More what? More of Him. That's really it. That's it. And so I just hugged her and said, more, Lord. That's all I said. Look at her. This is not, hey, Lord's just doing this. He's saying, do you believe this revival stuff you're saying? Oh, revival's here. It's in our hearts. God says, just step in and believe it. Okay, Tom, whatever you want to say.
I would add that this is very unusual for my wife. She's been prayed over many times. She's not one to go down at all, unless it's the Lord. So this is clearly the Lord working. I wanted to add, too, on Tuesday night, after we were sort of reassessing and talking through all that happened on Tuesday night in bed, and we were drifting off to sleep. My wife is a night person. I'm a morning person, so I was very close to sleep. She gave me a word. And I think it was really from the depths of her heart as a result of what God had done to her on Tuesday night. And it was a very deep, powerful word. It had me on my knees the next morning, early in the morning, praying. And as a result of that time of prayer, I've decided to, with the Lord really telling me to do this, next term at the college, Mount Union College where I teach, I'm going to put on a Signs and Wonders class. And so we were just singing about revival. I'm praying. I've been praying all term. If we're going to see revival break out at Mount Union College. I know a number of you have been doing that too. Yeah. And I'd like to add, along with my wife, a word of honor to our pastors. We didn't know them when we first came. We knew Michael, and I had Michael as a class. But any pair of pastors who can take some of these young people, Lawrence, I mean, I saw Lawrence preach the gospel with such great power, and it was just amazing. The maturity and the wisdom of these young people is such a testimony to the prayer, the sacrifice, the blessing, the anointing that is here in this place on these pastors. We want to honor them. We thank you for them.
This is Lawrence's former instructor at Mount Union College. How many more former Mount Union people do we have here? We got Joe and Mike and Melissa and Tiana and Ashley. Who else? Anybody else? Rachel. And you know what? Years and years ago, who knows how many? Rachel would, I'm sure. We went to Mount Union and started a Bible study there with a lot of our people here as students. I don't know if you were all there at the same time. Well, we didn't know Melissa. We didn't know a couple of them that came in, I think, Tiana. But the ones who were already linked with Frontline, we all started this, call it MUC, M-U-C, a MUC Bible study. And Bill and I were there every week for a couple years. I don't know how many years. And now Troy and Rachel and others, there's a team. They've taken that over. And for years, we've been praying, Tom, and saying, revival will break out at Mount Union College. Is this so cool? You know, and the Bible study itself has grown a little bit, but it's like, Lord, I don't understand here. How come this, the first year, it just wasn't, you know, we've got thousands in this Bible study. But boy, I'll tell you what, God has so honored everything that we've done before, and it was very powerful then, and it's very powerful now. So to hear that God draws the cars here, not just for that, I'm sure, but draws them here, and now we hear that we're going to have a Signs and Wonders class at Mount Union College. Oh! Well, Lord, we bless that in Jesus' name. Father, that's a prophetic statement. And Father, we just thank you. There's a hedge of protection around this man and his family in the name of Jesus. We thank you right now in the name of Jesus Christ that no weapon formed against them shall prosper. And Lord, that everything that has been sown in this season shall come. The fruit, Father God, that is coming. All you former Mount people, come on up here in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for this prophetic picture. Oh, if anybody has a camera, get it on yourself. In Jesus' name, this is a big deal. This is part of revival in the land. This is part of what God is doing. So, Father, we thank you that it shall come to pass, that it will be nurtured, it will be nurtured, it will be completely, overwhelmingly your precious heart. It will be what you're doing. It will be in this season. It will be, oh God, it's an overwhelming sense. Father God, that Mount Union will be a lead dog in this area, in Ohio. In Jesus' name, we thank you that the glory falls now. In Jesus' name, in greater measure, thank you for the manifest presence right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you. Just keep coming. Oh, God, thank you for Tom. Thank you for his heart. Thank you, Lord God, that there is any religious overtones or undertones at Mount Union are being ripped out now. But in the Spirit, in the name of Jesus, and we're believing for an overwhelming sense of your power and your authority in Jesus' name. Lord, we just thank you for your creative words that have been spoken out. You gave him this idea. He's partnering with you. And so we thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. And may it be one of many, many colleges, many universities, Father God. May this be the lead God. Father, we've been waiting for an inroad, and this is it. And you've seen it all along. You are not short-sighted at all. But this man and his wife have kingdom vision. And I thank you, Lord God, that you are so smart. You know exactly what you're doing. So I thank you, Lord God, that we desire right now. Ina, come on up here if you're able. Where are you, Ina? Is she up here? Ina, just put your hand on Ina. Ina, come here. Lord, we just thank you for this couple. We thank you for the call, for the anointing, oh God. In Jesus' name, Lord, keep them drunk, intoxicated in your spirit. In the name of Jesus, let it be, Lord God, that they would understand the flow, the power of the Holy Ghost. That they would understand with no fear, in Jesus' name. Oh, your perfect love casts out all fear. Thank you, Lord. Oh, now I know that Mike was president of the religious life or something, and whatever. I want you to say something and pray over them also as the representative. We showed at Mount Union the movie. Mike's going to tell you about that. And also, he was president of the senior classes last year, president of Religious Life Committee, which is the body that oversees all the stuff that happens with the youth on campus in the quote-unquote spiritual mode. So,
Lord, we come before you right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you for what you're about to do at Mount Union College. Father, we ask that you would unleash your presence there in Jesus' name. We've been praying for this place. We've walked this place. Father, we claim this place in Jesus' name. Father, we ask that every student that would come in would hear your name, or they would hear of your face. They would come to know you in a miraculous way. And Father, that Mount Union would be a hub for Jesus, to be known no longer as the great school for football, but Lord, it's a great school where Jesus reigns. We thank you for what you're doing there. We bless it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord. Okay, I went home and I couldn't stop praising for a couple hours. Even trying to go to bed, I couldn't stop praying. I praised until my throat was dry. I needed to get up and get water. And then, I don't know if it was an attack of Satan or what, then Thursday morning, I ended up going to the emergency room. At Mercy,
I was dizzy and some other things going on, and I myself called 911. But I wonder if it was a divine appointment, because waiting for my friend to come and pick me up in the emergency room when I was done, and they couldn't find anything. And
thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you never bring sickness, ever. There's no sickness in the kingdom, so you're not going to make us sick. Thank you, Lord. We established that. Hallelujah.
But while I was waiting for my friend to come, a man came in that looked to be, to me, only, I don't know, mid-30s to early 40s. And the signs were all of a heart attack. And it was all your prayer. I got up and prayed for him out loud in the emergency room. And that's not me.
Oh, it really is you. But new to you. Just share with them briefly. I walked over to her. I didn't know what God was doing in her on Tuesday. Can you share what God, how he touched you on Tuesday and what you were feeling?
I don't really know. I just know that things, I got prayed for like 3 times. And the first time I went down, and
is that new for you?
No.
Okay, so you've
experienced that for 40 years. But, and even the first time, I think about the second time after I received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, I was laughing at the next meeting, just laughing and laughing. But that was years ago, 40 years ago. But I've been in this realm that long. And I'm not used to getting up in front of people. So, and this, I can't believe I'm doing this. So it's just such a blessing to be here. And I thank you for this church. I thank you.
Well, we love you, Barb. And we just say more, Lord, to you. More, just get her, God. Just get her. Just get her in every way, Lord God. Just give her the desires of her heart that she would know that this is who she is. Beyond a shadow of a doubt, Lord God. Just increase her in every way. Thank you, Holy One. You are so good. And thank you for the healing that you brought her on the spot. Thank you, Lord God, for the healing you brought this man. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that this is the testimony of Jesus, the spirit of prophecy. So we thank you, Lord God, the testimony of Jesus.
Oh, he's so sweet.
God bless you. That's awesome. Thank you, Lord. You know, God is so fun. You know, we come to church thinking, I've got a heavy burden to carry. And the Lord says, I am the burden bearer. And I'm really, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. Do you know what the word yoke means? Work. My work is easy. And my burden is light. It's like easy. You know, I really appreciated what Ina and Tom shared this morning. I also want to add to what Ina said. She has such a sweet spirit. She says, you know, you don't have to be sinless. You don't have to be holy. You don't have to be certain things. And in her heart, you know, that's a spirit of divine grace and humility. But the truth from God's perspective is that you are holy. And we do not have the sinful nature any longer. And the Lord wants us to see ourselves that way so that we can receive. We can receive everything that he has done for us and believe it and step into it. And I'm sure that's what her heart is. But we really need to say, yeah, wrap our arms around that and say, your kingdom come, your will be done in me right now. It's already been done in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, before we do dismiss and the children go elsewhere and all of that good stuff, I do want to say, sometimes we major on, well, if I'm not on the floor, then I'm not spiritual. If I don't, you know, become intoxicated the way others become intoxicated, I'm not spiritual. You know, and that's a lie. That's a lie from the enemy. But the lie is so twisted inside of us because there is a but to that. Because when Holy Spirit shows up, we are embracing, we are excited, we are receiving, we are moving, we are saying, yes, Lord, anything that would block me from experiencing you fully, that I can fully, I want that removed. Rather than just saying, You know, that's just not me. I'm not going there. There's a lie probably connected with, not probably, there's a lie connected with that. Okay? And what do we do with the lie? We get rid of it. Period. If we dance around it, then that's what we'll do is dance around it. And we stay in bondage. And God is saying, not this time. Our attitude in this season should be, not me, not on my watch. It's a watchful man, a watchful woman, not me. I want the fullness that you have. Beth Ann has something.
Okay. All these testimonies, and, well, I get nervous in front of people, so, yes. What? I got it. For the past week and a half, like, I've had, like, a really bad cold and a terrible sore throat, and yeah, I woke up this morning, and they can tell you that this morning I was kind of like heaving and like coughing and a bunch of this stuff, and like, I don't know, I sound like a man like this entire week because I had the sore throat and all that kind of stuff. But like, as we were worshiping and all that kind of stuff, I just felt like, I don't know, as they were praying for Mike, I don't remember your name. Sorry. I kind of felt a release myself that my sore throat is gone, and I can actually breathe out of my nose. And so, yeah. So, a little encouragement.
That's really good. You know, we are going to transition in a moment, but before we do, we want to pray for those who haven't been feeling well. You've been hearing a lot of testimonies. You've heard that Jesus is a healer. And the first thing I want to pray for is unbelief, so that we can step in. Hallelujah. And we'll be speaking more about that this morning. But let's be real with the Lord and say, Lord, I'm just not so sure. I don't know. It's just not happened before. And if we allow the Lord to take that, if we give the Lord our unbelief, our fear behind that, really, which is what unbelief is, not believing God for who He is, it's amazing what will happen. Yeah, God is good. And many times, you know, God will show up and do whatever He wants anyway, because God is God. But He does use us, for the most part, okay, in this world today. The Lord says, I want to release my character through people so that they will come into relationship and believe me. And believe who I am and what I've done for them. Amen? So, Lord, we just thank you that unbelief is not our portion today. And as we grow in what unbelief really looks like from your word in a few moments, that will even deepen. But right now, Lord, we just release that spirit over this place. In Jesus' name, go. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hey, Rabbi. Is Lawrence in here? There you are. I called you up earlier. I wasn't sure why. Now I know. I'm going to ask you to pray. It didn't happen, so it was a premature walk, but it was still you. So I want you to pray for those who are not feeling well with everything the Lord has given you.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Why don't we have the people who aren't feeling well, something that they're contending for in the physical healing, why don't we have you guys stand up? Don't be shy. Okay, I'm going to have everybody just kind of stretch your hands out to whoever's around you, whoever's closest. You don't have to lay hands on them. Just stretch your hands out to whoever's closest. Thank you, Lord. Father, right now in Jesus' name, we thank you for the power of the testimony. Lord, we thank you for the spirit of faith in this place. Lord, and we thank you, Father, that we are in that place where we see revival happening. And Father, where there is revival, where there is your presence moving, there are signs and wonders, there is healing. So Father, right now, in Jesus' name, we just release that into the atmosphere. Right now, Father, release ministering angels, Father God. Let the Holy Spirit begin to touch those places, Lord. Touch those places where we need a physical healing, Lord. Clear up any lungs, Father God. We break off cough in Jesus' name. We break off fevers, Lord, in Jesus' name. Father, hips. Anything in the hip area, Father God, Lord, touch that right now. Let your healing presence, a heat rising up right now in Jesus' name, Father. And Lord, we break that off. Break that off, Lord, as we come into heaven, as we come into your presence right now, Lord. There is a healing touch. There is a healing manifestation to be had. So, Father, I thank you, Lord, that signs and wonders, Father God, you desire to pour that out over your children, over your loved ones. So, Father, right now, open heaven, pour it out, Lord. Signs and wonders, testimonies flowing in this place, Lord. And let there be a joyful shout of praise, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for the signs and the wonders. Thank you, Lord, for manifestations of your love. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Is there anybody right now who's feeling any kind of heat? A heat in a specific area, maybe? 3 of you. Apparently everybody needs to get on the worship team. Anybody else? Thank you, Lord. Well, Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are bringing that healing instantly, Father, but we just continue to press in for that, Lord. Anywhere where it hasn't completely been healed right now, Lord, we continue to thank you and praise you for that healing touch in Jesus' name. So continue to pour that out. Continue to release the Holy Spirit, Father God. Let signs and wonders flow throughout the entire message today. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Oh, yes, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Now, before you leave, I know the transition word came. It's like, oh, shift. I want to show you something real fast up here. We're not going to spend a lot of time on it, but I want your eyeballs to see it. Hopefully it'll work. We've got a short video of a little girl who was rescued from the sex trade. She was rescued 34 days ago when I got this, so it's probably 40 days ago. Okay, rescued. I want you to see it, so don't leave and go to the bathroom. Stay. Okay? She's 5 years old. 5 years old. Look around at the five-year-olds. Oh, we need the lights off, someone. Rick, yeah. Okay, now, I'm not going to give you too much information. I just want you to see her, because it'll be a faith builder, I sure hope. I want you guys to see this. I'm not going to tell you too much because there's a safety issue with exploitation. I'm sure not from you, but... Laura, would you please close that door, or someone? Thank you. You want to close that door? We want you to be able to see. And turn the lights off, please. Thank you. And after this, we'll transition into the Word. Oh, I can read.
Whoa, wait a minute.
Let me... open that one for just a second, O'Brien. I'm sorry, I need a little more light. Let me just read to you a little bit about this girl, and then you can read, or you can see what she... You won't understand much, but you will be able to see her. Okay. This little girl, when she came to the ministry, she was petrified. She was traumatized. She'd been beaten up brutally by her father for many weeks prior to the rescue. For days, she would continue to sleep. She would continually sleep and scream and get up in a shock many times. She would maybe she was seeing in her dreams the brutality that her father made her go through. She had many bruises on her body when she came in, and she was put on sale into the sex trade by her father. Wow. Okay. As you watch this video, you will come to know deeper about the transforming power of the love of God. It's so amazing. For days, the child, I tried to calm the child down, come out of the trauma. She couldn't speak one word when she came in. And for a week, she was silent. Didn't even know any English, barely speak her mother tongue. I'm amazed at the incredible work of God. She now knows Jesus and his love, and she's a bundle of joy. And her name is Blessing. Hallelujah. Now, I want you to watch this. This is going to wreck your world. Yes, thank you. In a good way.
Thank you.
That's all that's on there. Okay, we'll have to, we'll show you more next week. That's the preview. There's a little bit more. It's really powerful. You'll just be amazed at what God has already done in just a little bit. I just want you to be praying for Joe and Kim. Kim, are you in here? Joe, just stand up. I want you to extend your hands toward them. I want you to pray for them because they're my team right now. And we are going to be working together. There's so much work to do on the international side. Pastor Bill and I have been playing catch up, you know, since we got out of the hospital. There's so much that we haven't had a chance to even get to and share. And these two ladies right now are the formulation of the team for the global side of Frontline that I really need desperately. Cynthia and I work together, and she's got her hands full as well. So these are my global team right now. So, Father, we just extend our hands out to Joe and to Kim in Jesus' name. And I just thank you, Lord God, for the anointing that's going through these words. In Jesus' name, to be able to help put together where we're going together with what's happening. Father, that you would give them with their pastors the vision, Lord God, for what you want to see happen with the various ministries that we are very much involved in already, and for that to be extended in the countries that we are part of. Ho! Father, I thank you that in your eyes, the world's a very, very small place. And I thank you, Lord, ho, for the team unity right here. And I thank you, Lord, for what's going to happen on the global side in greater measure with the increase that we have now with the women who are stepping into this. Thank you for the protection of their families in Jesus' name. Thank you for the anointing over them for the protection of their children, grandchildren to come. In Jesus' name, and for their families right now, for their physical health, I thank you, Lord God, that they walk in your physical covering in your name of Jesus Christ. I speak that over them, and that we dedicate to you that we will stand and pray for the new teams that are being raised up in this ministry, and this is one of many. In Jesus' name, we declare it. In Jesus' name, glory to God. So encourage them when you see them. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And there may be others who are added to this in time, but this is where we are. We have a lot of different teams we haven't really acknowledged, probably as we should in prayer to the body. We've been so busy, so we're going to be doing more of that to increase the teams that we have here because there's incredible leadership here. So bless God. Sin, thanks, ladies. Do we have any of the pictures from the other part? Okay, this was Northern India, one of the ministries in Northern India that you saw that's, you know, not a good depiction of what's really going on yet. We'll see a better shot next week. But what you're going to see now, if these come up, are some of the children from our children's home in Rajahmundry, India. Frontline Children's Home is there. And you'll also see a picture of the lepers and the leper colony that we support. And there we go. We're just going to go through these, and these ladies are going to be working on being able to pull this together so you can see it in a greater way in terms of a bulletin board. And Rachel's going to be doing more with the local side as well, but they're going to be doing the international side. There's the leper colony. These are the lepers that we've prayed for. The guy on the left with the white hair, you know, that guy right there. I don't know his name, and we can't see his healing, but he was healed this summer. It was amazing. He had this open, goopy sore of leprosy. Prayed over him, it was instantly touched and healed. And Troy and I went back a couple days and saw that and verified that. So praise the Lord. So we also fund a lot of their eating. We give them rice and pay for them. So this says, I don't know what this is. Probably, this is the leper colony too. Yes. Just keep going. You guys just flip it through. Okay, can't flip it through. Okay, just pick a couple and we'll... These are some of our children in the children's home. And we may be having projects of encouraging them over Christmas time. You know, we'll be doing some other things and we'll get the word out to you. But we really want your hearts to be stirred to really start praying in a greater way. This is just India. And we have other areas that we're developing, which we'll talk about another time. And so we just want to show some of these pictures. That's Pastor Dewa and his wife, Sunitha. And one of the girls who just had a birthday. So this is in our children's home, and that's probably good for now. And yeah, there's a birthday party. These are our kids. These are your kids. Okay, this is our children's home that they're relying on for help and prayer and sustenance and all in Jesus' name. Okay.
So praise God. Okay, you can turn the lights on, please. And we can, did you say it's not good? It's good. Okay, Rachel has a report on her father. And before we're dismissed in the kids, we want everyone to hear this. So.
Just to let you know, some of you knew to pray last night. My dad just had a problem, started having a problem with his vision last night, and we got the word and went to the doctor. And apparently his retina in his right eye was detaching. And so he went in and had surgery this morning, and it was supposed to be a two-hour surgery. I guess he just got out. It was actually 3 hours, but they said it was fine. It just took a long time. And so he just told my mom this morning he was glad to know that FMI was praying for him. So thank you. And he's still not awake yet. He's still under the, you know, anesthetic or whatever. So, and then when he wakes up, he has to lay face down for 24 hours, or they said as long as you can stand it, because I guess it's painful. So if you can just pray for that, and that, you know, his retina would be healed, and he's supposed to be off of work for a long time, like 14 days or something. So just pray for speedy recovery too. Well, Lord, we just thank you that you have your hand on my father. Lord, we just thank you, Father, that his retina is in your care, Father, and we just thank you, Lord, for my mother, for my father, Lord, for those of us in the family, Lord. Just thank you for your peace, Father. Just thank you that he knows you, that he knows you're the healer, Lord, and just pray that you'd speak to him, Lord, even now while he's waking up, Father, that he would hear your voice, Lord God, that he would see you, Lord, that you would just keep his body and his blood levels and all of that, Lord God, that you would just bring total health, Father God, even to other areas in his body, Lord. Just thank you for that, and thank you for your goodness.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And before people leave again, gosh, you'll get out of here, don't worry. I would like to draw attention, if you would, before you leave, to your invited. If you would please take a look at this. It says, you are invited. Now, you may have received something last week in the bulletin and read that. That's great. I want you to read the updated version as well. It says, you are invited. I want you to read this because it talks about what we're offering here from a kingdom freedom perspective of a class that's beginning when, Sin? Okay, not this week? Is it this week? It is this week. It's starting this Thursday. Okay, this Thursday. Thursday morning and Thursday night. You need to sign up. So that would be great. So we would be prepared for you. But we ask you to read this and answer the questions. Yes, no. Not right now. Okay? If your questions are answered, if you answer yes to any of these questions, then this class can be or is for you. See what God says to you. It's kind of cut off on mine, so hopefully you'll get everything. So, on the back, sorry about that. But read this through, and don't forget, because it starts this week, and God is saying, I really, if you want more freedom, like today, woohoo, sign up for this class. It's going to be awesome. Amen. All right. Children, you may go to your children places, kingdom places. Amen. And as we transition, if you would please be so kind as to pick up the other handout that is in your bulletin. Let's look at it. It says Colossians 2, 8 through 15, Amplified Bible. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Everybody have one? If you don't, could you raise your hand? Because everyone should have their own copy. So we somehow, our greeters, you're missing some people in the morning. Okay, I'm sorry, if you can keep your hand. Teresa, can you go get as many hands as you see? Sorry about that. Amen. See. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Keep your hands up, please, and get a pen out or pencil. You'll love it. Get your Bible out, too, whatever version you have. But we wanted to all go through some things together. It was just so good in the Amplified. I thought, well, gosh, Lord, many times we put things up on the screen, and that's wonderful. But this is something we want you to chew on so you can go home with it and think about it this week. How many know the Word of God is just powerful? Powerful and life-changing. All right, put your hand up if you don't have one in your hand, please. If you don't have one of these. Andrew needs one. Donald, do you have one? Do you have one of these papers? Okay. Everybody, eyeballs, there we go. Thank you, Jesus. All right. This has been an amazing morning, hasn't it? And Lord, we're just continuing to ask you right now to pour out your Spirit even in greater measure this morning in a way that will touch us at the depth of the core of our being through your word, that we would receive your life-changing message that comes from your very word. We thank you, Lord God, that your word is uncompromising. We thank you, Lord God, that you will loose us in the area of our minds that have been set a different way, from a different teaching, from a different place. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Praise God. Oh, you know, how many of us know in John 10:10, you can write on this as well, and we also have a place for notes on a different paper in your bulletin. Make sure you get your bulletin each week now. There's more jazz in there for you. Okay? But how many of us know in John 10:10, Jesus said, "The thief comes only." I was reading that again this morning. The thief comes only. How many like the word only? Only to steal, kill, and destroy. This thief comes. This is his purpose. Now, if we can establish that, don't let that go over your head, because I already know that one. Don't let that go over your head. The thief comes only to steal, to kill, and destroy. Jesus said it. Only. So write down the word only. John 10:10. Only. This is why the devil came. To steal, only to steal, only to kill, only to destroy. But I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Or have abundance. I have a notebook somewhere. Because I did some... is there a notebook sitting here? Underneath that, sweetheart? It has a red top. Is there a notebook in the last pew? Where is that? Came with me this morning because I wanted to read something to you. I brought it in. It's a red note. It has red on the front. It's a notebook. Am I looking at it and I don't see it? Oh, you know what? I dropped it. Wait a minute. Or it fell off.
Yeah.
Okay, I want to do a good job at the research for a definition, so I remember a lot of it, but I just don't want to miss something really good. So let me read to you what I was researching about the word, about that particular passage of Scripture, and researching about the word abundance. I really want you to get this, because this is the beginning. This is kind of the foundation for us all. And let me read to you what the Contemporary English Version reads, and then I'll get into what the dictionary says. The Contemporary English Version reads that I have come to give you life to its fullest. Okay, the word abundancy is not used there. In the Amplified, it reads that they may have and enjoy. Now, you can write any of this down. This all belongs to us, that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance. Okay, how many of us are really enjoying life right now in every way? In every way. Oh, not just because we got something we've wanted. Ah, that's always nice. I got a new house, I got a new car, I got a new dog, I got a new. That's great. But the Lord is saying, in every way that I am enjoying the fullness of life, every part of me, every relationship, every part of my day, every decision I make, everything. This is what God's talking about in this passage here. Okay, so that they may have life and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full until and beyond when it overflows. Okay, this is the abundant life. God is wanting to change our thinking. He wants our thinking this morning to be altered. He wants to invade our mind. He wants to have control of our thinking. Okay, that means that we are in a cult with God. No, there is no cult with God, but he gives us the mind of Christ, so it becomes an exchange. Let me read to you what the Message says. That they would have real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of on every level. All right? sounding good to me. I like this. This is good God. Now let me read to you what I wrote and what I found about the word abundant and abundancy. Okay, something that is considered to be abundant, or the idea of abundancy, presented in large and presented in great quantities. Presented in large and great. Large, think big. Large, great quantities. More than plentiful. Excessive. Write that word down. It's so cool. Excessive. Excessive. This is abundant. This is from the dictionary. Amazing. Abundant, excessive, more than enough. More than enough. Excessive. I went and I looked the word excessive up. Listen to this one. Excessive. Beyond what is considered necessary. Beyond what's considered necessary and functional and good. Beyond useful. Beyond useful, sorry. Considered necessary, useful, required. That which is beyond required. Beyond extra. Beyond useful. Unrestrained behavior. Ho! Oh. Okay, excessive. I'm liking this. This God is so funny. Okay, Jesus used the word abundance and abundancy, but I'm guilty of this, I'm sure, in my life, of not really getting it, you know, many times of what the word abundant life really looks like. And God says, how can you contend for it if you don't know? And you don't know what I did. If you don't know who you are and what I did, it doesn't mean that much. You may actually concentrate on the thief came, forget the only, sometimes, to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come to give you abundant life, excessive fruitfulness. The Lord tells us in John 15 that he wants our fruitfulness that he's giving us, that he produces, to remain. He wants to remain and to continue to grow. But sometimes we think of remain as being stagnant, and the Lord's always fluid. He's always moving, always increasing. There's always increase with the concept, with the idea of abundance. It's overflowing. The cap is off. It's excessive. It's outrageous. How? That's amazing. That's the only kind of thinking that will carry what we want to do at Mount Union. I'm telling you, if we don't think the way God thinks, it'll be small potatoes. Hey, God is saying, I want you to think as I think. You must know who you are, and you must believe who you are. Not just know in where you could stand up and teach somebody in a class, but that you would believe it. And your life would reflect it. This type of abundancy is supernaturally given by God. It's not something you earn. It's not something you do. It's not something that we have done anything to receive on our own merit. But God says, I love you so much. I want you to know that you're not going to shrink back like shrinking violet. You're going to stand up and go, you did this, so I take it. That's abundant thinking. Excessive. Wild, crazy. That's radical living. Oh, that Frontline Worship Center radical bunch. I hear that and I think, radical is, what does that mean? I'll do research on that one. But radical is just coming in line with what God already did. And if that's radical to this world, then okay, we'll carry that message and see people change through the life-changing message. And anything that has stopped or does, our favorite word, hinder, that excessiveness from moving in our lives needs to go out the door and never come back. And actually, God is saying it's already gone. And this is the problem with mainstream believers and even those who consider themselves a river person, a river church, and river, let's get. Sometimes God is saying, let me river your brain. Because you are not catching this, kids. I mean, I believe God says that to us. And when we do, we can't wipe this smile off. Even in the midst of heartache, trial, even if the devil tries to steal, kill, and destroy, that's his job. But when we know Jesus, really, in the way that he wants us to relate to him, we can truly walk as fearless people even in the face of impending doom and death. And if we are fortunate and we are called at some point to be one of the physical martyrs in this in this season. Okay, that's great. We'll talk about Stephen in a minute. That's not the point of this message completely. But God is saying, I came that you would have abundant joy. You would have abundant resources. You would have abundant family living. You would have abundancy on every level, at every turn, in every way. And your circumstances would not dictate how your abundancy or lack thereof. Yeah. But God is saying, agree with that. But when we agree with that, we're actually believing. God says, do you want to walk in all that I have actually done? Do you want to do that? How? They would need a bulletin, guys. Someone can help. Welcome. God is saying right now that this is the season for us to get it. Because he's saying, you want your religious mindsets to be upside down, turned, completely, completely eradicated? This is how we do it. This is how we overcome. We must see who he is and who we are. And believe it to the point where our lives are reflecting abundancy. In every area, all the time. In the face of disaster, what we see as disaster, God is saying, I'm still the abundant life giver. Jesus' words in John 10:10, do not change because our circumstances change. How? The Lord says, get this. Yes. So when we go through Colossians 2, don't let it just go over your minds. Like, oh yeah, I've read this 1,000 times. I've taught this passage so many years, so many times. And every time we have, I know Pastor Bill has as well, it's like, wow, you just open up the windows of heaven saying, woohoo, see to it, let's look together. And then mark this up, not with the doodling little things that we all do, but let's listen with the mind of Christ, okay? Let's listen. What are the words that I can hear? Holy Ghost, I want you to remind me on Wednesday when the cat threw up in the middle of the floor and I have company coming in, okay? You're going to remind me when the car breaks down and I have to get to work on time and what I'm going to do. You're going to remind me when that sickness tries to come my way. And I say, no way, in Jesus' name. See to it. Now, this is amazing. Look at verse 8. See to it. That's our job. See to it. I want to be a see to it person. I'm a see to it person. I'm going to see to it. This is Paul, of course, talking to the people in Colossae. And he's telling them, see to it, that no one carries you off as spoil or makes you yourselves captive by his so-called philosophy and intellectualism. Circle it. Intellectualism comes when our brain has been short-circuited by the allowance that we have given the enemy to penetrate somehow through maybe a well-meaning comment from a mother, father, pastor, leader, coach, ball player on the team, or whatever it would be, or a book that we read, or something that we thought, a class that we took, right here. This is enough to chew on for the rest of our lives. But the Lord is saying to us, make sure that you yourselves are not captive by so-called philosophy and intellectualism. If you're taking philosophy in college right now, you better have the mind of Christ and protect yourself from that and also from psychology and everything else. Am I against any of this? Heavens no, I have the mind of Christ so I can see what's absolutely ridiculous. And embrace the truth. Hallelujah. And God is saying, but see to it that you are not taken captive by so-called philosophy, intellectualism, and vain deceit, which includes idle fancies, and plain nonsense. I've laughed. This is the Amplified, as you know. And so I was laughing reading the Amplified version, and it was just so much fun. And I don't know if I brought this one. Oh, no. I was going to bring a couple other versions, but that's okay. We don't have that much time. But I was reading through a bunch of versions. I only wanted to print one off, and I thought, this is just so cool. This is like taking a nice little knife and going, bam, right in our hearts, saying, wake up. This is the wakey-wakey we were talking about, and God says, when we wakey-wakey by the Spirit of God, you know what that means. If you don't, ask somebody if you weren't here. Wake up, church. God is saying, in this season, We don't want to follow human tradition, but we want you to share with us what it is. And if we start just philosophizing together, and it's not the kingdom of God, and it's not what God says, it's not what he thinks, it's not what he feels, we're wasting our time, and we're spinning our wheels, and we're being overcome, because the enemy comes only, remember the word only, is it on your paper? Only to steal. What? What's he stealing? As soon as we're born again, we're a target for him to steal. What does he want to steal?
Our lives.
Yeah. Thank you, Paul. He wants to steal who we are in Christ. He wants to steal who we have become from our understanding of the cross. He can't, but circumstantially he can inside of us. And many of us sign up for inner healing. Okay, and I believe me, I'm all about proper healing of the heart. That's why we have freedom class. That's why we're training up freedom helpers, people who can walk in freedom. But if they're not free, how can they give you advice and counsel? It's like, oh, I know, that's what I'm thinking. Well, this will free us up. So this is for any of us. God is saying, you want freedom? Here is the true message of freedom. And this is the beginning. And this will be offered in the class along with, so what happened when you were three, maybe? I don't know. But God is saying, and I'm not trying to be trite about it, but God is saying, we're going to the cross. We're going to the cross. We're going to see, what did Jesus do with the cross? And what did he do as a result of the cross? Now, you know, I want to tell you something. I just want to backtrack a second because I'm being prompted. Several years ago, I was teaching in a Bible school in Mozambique for Iris Ministries, and I may have alluded to this on one of the Tuesday nights. And I was looking at the Bible students, and they were just, you know, not quite with the picture. I mean, I saw them outside, and I thought, I get to teach them. Oh, boy, they don't look like they have much fire right now. I don't know what their deal is or was. Ladies, come in. You guys want to hear this. This is just like over the top. Thank you, Jesus. And what happened was, I said, God, what do you want me to preach on and teach them? He says, go to 1 Corinthians 2 and teach them what Paul did. I said, what? Okay, so I went to 1 Corinthians 2. And the Lord said at that time, he said, tell them 1 Corinthians 2:2, actually the whole chapter. But teach them all about the fact that Paul came to preach Christ, only Christ, and Christ crucified. Yeah, but you know, we always speak about being raised, and we're raised to a new life. So we're going to live in the resurrection life. We're going to live in the raising of the new life. And the Lord says, if you don't understand the cross, you do not understand the resurrection. And if you don't understand that everything inside of you was nailed to the cross when you were born again, every little thing, every little stinking thing. Whoa, she said stinking. Yes, anything. The old nature, the old man, our bitterness, our hurts, everything our mothers and fathers did to us 20 years ago, we think. Now, I'm not, again, I'm not being sarcastic. I don't like that. I'm not sarcastic. But I believe I'm being truthful to you. And I believe that God wants us to know that everything that has come down our way has been nailed to the cross. Everything. That means our self-will. That means our unbelief. That means our rejection. That means everything. Everything has been nailed to the cross. And the Lord is saying, you don't understand. Every bit of bitterness, every bit of pain, every bit of hurt, every bit of fear, everything was nailed to the cross. Hey! And then Jesus was raised to new life. And we get to share in that. It's like, holy! The Lord's saying, do you see? I don't know. Do you see? Well, if I had a little bit more healing. Do you see that this is how you get there? This is how you get there. So anyway, I started preaching to these guys and teaching them, and they were kind of dull. For whatever reason, it was just the time. God sent us there, sent our team there for that particular season. And so I was teaching them, and they were not crazy silly in the spirit. They were just overwhelmed. They changed. They embraced the truth. They heard the truth. They embraced the truth. I witnessed God completely changing them in that area of unbelief on the spot. There was a fire that broke out. Some of you were with me. I don't remember if you were here. Wave your hand. If you were with me on that team, maybe not in this group. But oh man, it was so amazing. We walked out the door and they were lit up. We walked out the door and there's this little deaf kid standing there, you know, one of the boys around the area. And he's standing there. And they said, just pray for him. Little guy, in Jesus' name. He was instantly healed. Wow. Walking out. It was not a crusade or anything else. The power of God was so strong. Just like that, it could hear. Do you see? God is saying, I want to demonstrate who I am right on the spot. Barb understood to some degree, maybe greater than she even realizes. Okay? God wants you to know, Barb, that he did not make you sick at all. And hallelujah, you were healed in Jesus' name. And then you turned around and you offered that. That's amazing. That's the demonstration. But God says, you want more? Ina, you want more? Tom, you want more? We all want more. You heard it this morning. And the Lord says, let's start declaring and decreeing and believing for real who we really are, what God has really done. Hey, the Lord says, take the word and chew on it. Drink it. Oh, yes. Drink it. If you're thirsty for him, he is the word of God. Drink in the word and then declare it, and then you will see things happen so fast. This is a season of acceleration. And God is saying, you are not too old and you are not too young. But God is saying, get serious with what the word of God says. And if you mark out, this experience stuff, you are being foolish. You have been caught in a trap of Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. You have been captured by vain philosophy, empty deceit, and it's pure nonsense and intellectualism. And the Lord says in this season, it's time to say, I will not let that be my portion any longer. Oh, I just can't take a step forward. Of course you can. Of course you can. The Lord enabled that at the cross. He says to you that when you're born again, your old nature is gone. You are a new creature in Christ. Behold, the old is gone. You have a new being. You are a new being. Oh, you don't have an old father anymore. You have a new papa, a new daddy. Who's your mama and daddy? And the Lord says, this is new. And he says, when we're born again, there's a newness that's so powerful, that's so strong. The Lord is saying, step into who you are and watch your whole world change. Oh, but I don't know if it's true. What do you mean, if it's true? There's unbelief right there. I printed this off this morning because I wanted to read this to you. It's just, here it is. This is cool. Now, I'm a pastor. All right, you guys. All right, anyway, the message here, this is John 8:42, and you can turn in your Bibles to John 8:42 if you would care to. And John 8:42 is, I'm going to read to you from the message. This is an extended version. This is a scripture that Jesus spoke out. He is direct. Jesus does not mince words. He is saying, before you're born again, chickadees, here's the deal. You belong to Satan. Your father is the devil. Now let me read to you. Now that's a very short passage. Let me read to you what the message says. Now close your eyes and listen. Just listen to this. It's just amazing. If God were your father, said Jesus, you would love me, for I came from God and I arrived here. I didn't come on my own. He sent me. Why can't you understand one word that I say? Here's why. You can't handle it. You're from your father, the devil, and all you want to do is please him. He was a killer from the very start. He couldn't stand the truth because there wasn't a shred of truth in him. When the liar speaks, he makes it up out of his lying nature. And he fills the world with lies. I arrive on the scene. I tell you the plain truth. And you refuse to have a thing to do with me. Can any one of you convict me of a single misleading word or a single sinful act? But if I'm telling the truth, why don't you believe me? Anyone on God's side listens to God's words. This is why you're not listening, because you're not on God's side. Ooh, that stung when I read that. Oh, he's just talking to the people who don't know God at all. If the enemy comes to steal, to kill, and destroy, he wants to steal away our belief. What was given to us Catch this now. You can write. You don't have to, you can open your eyes. But catch this now. What was given to us when we were born again? Belief. Listen. What was crucified at the cross? Unbelief. Oh my goodness, you're kidding me. Unbelief was crucified there? Yeah, it was nailed to the tree. There's no unbelief in heaven. The unbelief was crucified with Jesus. That's why Paul, let me back up now, that's why Paul was preaching in 1 Corinthians 2:2. He was saying, I will preach Christ and Christ crucified. He's saying, because I believe. He's made a believer out of me. Hey, hey, I'm a believer. All you monkey fans from the past. I'm a believer, but I believe. I believe every part of the gospel. Every part. I believe everything that he did. I believe it. You can act like you believe it, even if you say, I don't believe. Believe it. You can step into belief because it's yours. You can go and say, Jesus, I'm not believing. And he says, why not? I don't know. I'm just not. Well, I gave it to you. So take it. Whoa. So what's coming in to steal that unbelief? Oh, I just have, you know, I just got all these things. The Lord says, rise up, claim who you are and what I've done at the cross already. It belongs to you. It is yours. It is yours. I am yours. I have crucified this. Don't give me your garbage. Verse 8, of intellectualism, vain philosophy, empty, it's deceitful, it's nonsense. It's, you're spinning your wheels and you're not going forward. You are not accelerating. There is no such thing. We said this at the wedding last night, I think. Yesterday. There's no such thing as neutral. I'm just coasting. I'm taking a break. No! That's not God's heart. He's always moving, always accelerating, always, always deepening the very freedom that we love. Thank you, Jesus. Now take a look now. Let's keep going here because I believe the word is coming in like a powerful sword right now to unlock the very hidden places. Oh, I believe. No, I just don't believe in this area. Well, then do something about it, which is repent, period. It's just not that easy. Yes, it is. It truly is. It hurts. But God can take us through what we think is a process. But let me tell you something about this process. There's no process. When you get born again, the Spirit of God comes in and says, I have made you new. He says, you are holy because I am holy. You understand? The Lord is saying, it's not a process. We have a really mixed up understanding of the idea, concept, or word of sanctification. I'm telling you, this can change your life. Because God is saying, go to the cross and the power of the cross and the result of the cross. Let's go through this and see what God says. And I think this is going to shake a few people, especially if you've come from maybe another teaching or thinking. It's like, what do you mean? There's no sanctification? Think about this for a minute. Let's take the word and see what the word says. The word says to us that our flesh, you know, that ugly little thing that we always struggle with because it just lives on the inside. It doesn't. It was nailed to the cross. Catch this. Look at the words. It was nailed. Our flesh. I'm not talking about the skin you see, but I'm talking about the aspect of the sinful nature was nailed to the cross. We have a new nature. And God says, walk in the new nature. This is revolutionary. Not really, but it is if we understand the cross. You want a deeper revelation of the cross? Chew on this for a while. You know, think. Let's look at the word as you're thinking. Oh, Lord, give us the mind of Christ. Here we go. Yay. We're not following human tradition, men's ideas of the material rather than the spiritual world. And yes, there was Gnosticism and all kinds of teachings going on at that time. And God is saying, that's not what I'm talking about for you right now. There's a historical context for sure. I'm not talking about that. It's part of it. It's still vain philosophy and empty deceit. Or vain deceit and empty philosophy, either way. Just crude notions following the rudimentary and elemental teachings of the universe and disregarding the teachings of Christ. That's scary that we can be in that trap. If any part of us falls into verse 8 in any way, any part of our thinking, we have an aspect of this mind of Christ, which is, by the way, the very last verse of 1 Corinthians 2. I forget the number, but I know the whole chapter. Whatever the last verse is, it says, and you have the mind of Christ. Huh? It's like, you're kidding me. I was given that? Yes. So give your mind a break. Give your brain a break. All you brilliant people, you have the mind of Christ, which is beyond any brilliance that you will ever think, believe, or imagine. Hallelujah. For in him, verse 9, the whole fullness of the deity, the Godhead, continues to dwell in bodily form. I guess that's kind of nice. What? Father, Son, Holy Spirit lives in me? Think about this. Wake up, celebrate this. Holy, holy, holy. If he wants to release something beautiful in you, which he does, like Enoch, you know, found out after 15 years of a journey, she was able to experience something really cool. It was a release of the Godhead inside of her as she called it, which is fine. I like, that's a nice word. Holy laughter, exhilarating presence. God just blew her box on Tuesday, which she shared. What a great testimony. Because there was a release of who she is. Praise God. Hallelujah. For in him the whole fullness of the deity of the Godhead continues to dwell in bodily form. Jesus, thank you. And you are in him. Verse 10. That's me and you. Jesus. Jesus in fullness. We are in Jesus, made full and having come to fullness of life. Wow. That sounds to me like the word abundant. Fullness, fullness, fatness. You've heard that from Pastor Bill, this fatness thing. Okay? But you know what? Excessive, over the top, beyond, unbelievable. It will jar you. It will, as we grab this, we will want to run and say, ha! I can't wait to be overcome as I drink in these truths. I want to drink. You want some drinking fun? Drink in these truths and watch what happens to you. I was getting blasted, intoxicated in the spirit early this morning. My husband probably thought I was so loony, but he lives with me. He knows I am, you know, in the spirit, in a good way. And I just, I'm laughing. I'm having so much fun with this passage. And I'm just excited about, gosh, wow, I'm getting intoxicated. Some of us get really bummed or blasted by the word drunk. It's like, that's just not. Blah, 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 blah. And the Lord says, be drunk on me. You need the new wine. Hello. The Lord says you need to live your life that way. Take him that way to work. Wake up in the morning. Watch what your coworkers do. Ho. Hallelujah. You will be carrying the very atmosphere, the glory of God, the atmosphere of heaven. And it might become a little dangerous. There might be people who snarl at you and they come in and they just give you one of these about 5 or 20 times. And it's because you're carrying the glory and the enemy wants you to think, oh, I'm just in warfare. God is saying, rise up above that. This is who you are. Okay, just put that little stinker in its place. Not the person, but the very essence of the atmosphere that's trying to rob you of what God wants to release. Is it true? Oh, God, you are so good. Thank you, Lord. You are the head of all rule and authority of every angelic principality and power. Yes, Lord. Ho, in him. Now catch this one. I love it. You were circumcised with a circumcision not made with hands, but in a spiritual circumcision performed by Christ by stripping off. Now I want you to circle this, would you? The body of flesh. Everybody put a little star. It's time to do our stars. The whole corrupt carnal nature with its passions and lust. And I'm going to read that again because we are not going past that one. This is where God wants us to do a brain reverse, whoop, okay, and removal. Oh, you know, I've just got, it's just me and my flesh. Oh, if this flesh, that is Christ stripped this flesh off of us, read the word and say, Holy Ghost, make it real to me. Because if not, you've been taught maybe differently, some, I don't know. Christ stripped off the body of the flesh, the whole corrupt carnal nature with its passions and lusts. Do you see that? No, wait a minute. You mean every passion, every lust, every sense, every feeling, every part of me that, you know, kind of swims in the carnal nature, that was crucified? You're kidding me. That was nailed to the cross? Yes. I don't have to claim it. I don't have to say, yeah, you know, it's the carnal side of me. No, it's not the carnal side. There is no carnal side. It's been crucified. And the Lord says, walk in the reality of that, and you will walk in the type of excessive living. It's a new way. Think differently. God is saying, do a brain blip. Wow. Yes, God. So good. Can I have another one of these? Somebody grab me one from the table back there. Teresa, that'd be good. Now let's look at it again. You were circumcised, and those of you who don't know what that is, that's probably an uncomfortable, I'm not a guy, cutting away of the foreskin, representing the spiritual cutting away. This was a Jewish tradition to have a physical circumcision, okay? And before that even became the big deal, do you know, and this is a whole other message, but do you know that Abraham, you know, had this circumcision of the heart as a Old Testament dude who hadn't even related to Jesus yet in fullness, because he hadn't come. There's no time in the Spirit. Write that down. There's no time in the Spirit. So the Old Testament saints, they walked in the understanding of what was to come. And the Lord said, because of what I will do, if you step into what I will do, you step into what I say, you step into who I am, I will circumcise your heart. Thank you, sweetie. Thank you. Oh, that's good. Okay, thank you. Just in case not. I was like, wow, that's good. We did that. Wow. It's amazing how that came out. So, do you catch? Let me say it again. The Lord wants us to know that the circumcision, this physical act of the circumcision as ancient Jewish tradition that carried over, you know, for a very long time, and now we do it for a physical cleansing for many little babies get circumcised and it's an ouchie and all that. And God is saying, okay, but this was a foretaste of the spiritual circumcision that was coming. We're getting a new heart. But think about this. It's not a process. I mean, think about the little babies, okay? Are we going to make this like a 20-year process? Huh? Think about this. This circumcision of the heart comes in as an impartation, from the Spirit of God to come in and go whack. You have been whacked. To be wacky. In Jesus, you have been whacked. I'm telling you, there's a new heart. God says, do you understand who you are? Do you understand how I see you? Do you understand that I am the beginning, I am the end, and it is finished? And if you will live with an it is finished mentality, write it down, I will live with an it is finished mentality, everything will start to change. It is finished. Jesus, what you did at the cross was complete. Wow. You talk about freedom? Oh my, oh my, oh my. I have a new nature. I am a new being. My flesh was crucified with Jesus. Hey, whoa, this is, whoa. Hirabashika. Yay. Read this again. This is so good. Look what you've done for us, Jesus. You stripped off the body of the flesh, the whole corrupt carnal nature, with its passions, with its lusts. So why do I have passions and lusts that don't match up? Well, you know, I'm just trying to kill that flesh. The flesh is already dead. The Lord says, step into the newness of life and don't invite back the old nature. This is old. God says, you are new. That's a big switch. And when we rise up, do you know, there will be a more powerful release of the very authority that the Lord has also deposited in us. A greater release. and you want to see these things that you've been hearing about, and other people are stepping in, and you're stepping in greater measure, and you want that momentum. You want that go, go, go. God is saying, take the word, chew on it, drink it in, go, that's me. I claim it, whether I feel it or not. This is who I am. This is what you say. This is what you've done. Period, end of statement. I will not allow any unbelief to live inside of me ever again. That's my goal. Lord, if it's there, I've allowed it in because even unbelief was crucified as part of the flesh. It was stripped away at the cross. Unbelief doesn't exist in your eyes. And I only want to know what exists in your eyes. Because it's the truth. That's the truth. That's the truth. That's the truth. The Lord says, well, if it's just kind of wiggly inside, then you have allowed the very thief to come in. You have allowed. It didn't come with the package. All right? And God is saying, what are you going to do with it? If the thief came only to steal, kill, and destroy, you're going to go after the thief, and you're going to do something about it. It's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. You have tried to take my lunch, and I want it back and more. I will not have that, and I will do something about it, and I will not hide, and I will become a leader to be able to impart to other people. If we don't get this, we can be so cool in other areas, but we're, you know, we want to be life changers and givers. God says, let me do it in you here first. Thank you. Wow. Thus you were circumcised when you were buried with him. Oh, wow. When we were buried in your baptism, in which you were also raised with him to a new life. That's kind of cool. So we were buried with Christ. We were raised to new life. This is not a 50, 80, 120 year process. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. God is God. We've got to have a change. We have to have an atmospheric shift inside, and we have to have a kingdom change in our minds. And I believe that there's probably some improper thoughts or teachings in some way that are keeping us connected to the lusts, to the desires, to the passions that don't match up with our new nature, and we've blamed it on something else other than what it really is. And God says, whoa, let's have a brain freeze right now. And allow our brains to be completely saturated with the true mind of the Spirit, the mind of Christ. And there will be an acceleration, a change. God is saying, it's time. It's time for even greater, to keep things going. And you were dead. Check this. Wow. And you were dead in trespasses and in the uncircumcision of your flesh. Uncircumcision of your flesh. You were dead. You were dead in trespasses. We were dead. Remember that our father was the father of the devil? I just read it to us, right? So we were dead in trespasses and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, your sensuality, your sinful carnal nature. Wow, our sensuality, our sinful carnal nature. I better know what that really looks like. I better read Galatians and understand more about that. Chapter 5 is really good. Go after it. Wow. You were dead in trespasses and in the uncircumcision, uncutting away, unsnipping away of your flesh. You were dead. And God brought to life together with Christ, having freely given us all our transgressions, having canceled and blotted out and wiped away the flesh. Right? Hallelujah. Our own flesh, our sinful nature, our unbelief, our unforgiveness, our rejection, our brokenness, our fear, everything that goes like this and moves us backwards instead of propelling us forward, all of that was cut away, was nailed to the cross. That's something that we don't want to have any connection with whatsoever. That should produce something new. Thank you, Jesus. having canceled and blotted out and wiped away. I love how he puts that. He canceled and blotted out and wiped away. In case we didn't get the first part, canceled, blotted out, wiped away the handwriting of the note, the bond, with its legal decrees and demands, which was in force and stood against us. The note. The Lord says, there's a ransom here, and I have paid the price. I have purchased you out of this death trap. I've purchased you. I've bought you. I've actually paid the price. I've laid my life down to do this. And if you step out, you are going to contain everything that I have done and I've crucified at the cross. Everything. Yeesh. This note with its regulations, decrees, and demands, he set aside and he cleared completely out of our way by nailing it to the cross. This needs to be acted upon. God says, as we finish up here, that this is something just to wet your whistle, because I feel sad, you know, that we can't spend about 3 weeks on this starting right now. But we probably will spend more time. But I believe God will give us more revelation as we step in and say, all right, where in the world have I missed it? What am I using in my own life as my reasoning, as my thinking? How many books have I read that told me the way it might be for somebody else? Instead of going to the cross and saying, you nailed this. You nailed this. I partake in this. I have been crucified with you. I consider my members dead. I consider the members of my body, the instruments of my body, dead for those that are being used for anything other than the glory of God. I consider them, I render them dead because that's what you did. And I step into that new nature that you've given me in greater measure. And I will not think today, what a nice, sweet little message. I hope somebody gets it. But I will think today, Lord, show me what you're saying about my thinking. About my thinking. My thinking. My thinking. What do I think? What do I really think? Because what we think is, that's coming from what we believe, right? So show me, Lord, what do I really believe? Do I believe this? That's right, Isaac. Do I believe this? He's just waving his arms. This note, God disarmed, this is the final verse for now, God disarmed the principalities and powers that were raged against us and made a bold display and public example of them triumphing over them in him and the cross. How many of us have read that and gone, that's lovely, that's nice. What did God do for us? What have we been brought out of, and what kind of freedom really belongs to us? And if we say, yes, but, God is saying, you've got unbelief. Yes, but, God is saying, well, you know, I just struggle all the time and this and that. And God says, here's your ticket. Let's go there. Let's start there and see these things unravel, because God says, I want you to be my kids who believe me. If you believe me for real, you will not have unbelief. Because they can't coexist. I don't want any unbelief in my inside of my thinking. I just don't want that. So I ask God to show me, is there something I'm not, am I not catching something, Lord? Have I believed something that's not true? I want that taken care of because of this. Not because life will be so much better for me, but because I love you so much, I can't believe what you've done for me, and you want me to coexist with you. How cool is that? That you would live inside of me and just transform me this way at the cross, that this cutting away took place, that I don't have to wrestle. Oh, I'm just wrestling with my flesh, and it's, you know, it's winning this time. Baloney! The Lord says that we have been freed. God says, how about your new nature? Walk in that and render your flesh already dead. It is dead. Therefore, pull it out. And that wrestling won't be what you think it will be, because the victory then will be your portion, will actually overtake you, overwhelm you, and you will be finding yourself speaking the very things out that will kill off anything that has been taken from you, you think. The enemy is a masquerader. He's a pretender. He is just a masterful artist of trying to fool us and trick us. This is the truth. The Lord says, put on the new man. He says, walk in that. Let me know. Let me let you know that this old man is your old father, your old nature, and you are not old. You are new. You have a new covering, new heart, new beginning, new life. Everybody in here can experience what Ina and Tom experienced that they shared, and much more, because more is coming. This is not, they're a testimony, but God is saying there's so much more. Holy Spirit is just waiting to be revealed. He's saying, but, you know, let's take a look at who we really are in Christ and speak it out. Speak it over your children. Speak it over your grandchildren. Tell them who they are. Tell them, let them know who they are not, because they will not hear this many times from the environment that they are in many times. Let it change with us first. Let it change. We don't want to see our loved ones growing up the way we did, some of us, or the way that we might think right now. No, let us change. Let us say, Lord, I want a change of thinking, a change of mind. I want a new thought. Thank you, Jesus. I don't want to walk as though I have an uncircumcised heart. I don't want to walk that way. And when we see the truth of what he's done for us with everything, can you believe this? Every bit of brokenness, guys and gals, every bit of sadness, of grief, every bit of, you know, I just got to take care of myself. All of that was nailed to the cross too. Everything. God is saying, step into the newness of your life. I just can't. You just won't. We can. Because he enables us. There's an impartation from the very God of the universe. He says, you couldn't even believe that I could be your daddy unless I imparted that to you. I imparted a spirit of belief. I imparted that. I took away unbelief so you could believe me. I took it away. The issue is with me and you, not what's inside of you, unless you own it and keep it. Does this make sense? Is this good? We're going to close with, can somebody get on the keyboard or the guitar or something? Let's turn in, this is just cool. Acts 7:51. Do you remember when Stephen died? Stephen was stoned to death. Let's take a look at what he said. I'm not going to go through the whole passage. You know, it's just long for today, I'm sure, for some. Thank you, Jesus. But let's look at this. Oh, Jesus. Thank you. How rabaka. Yay, God. Woohoo. Okay. Look at this. Stephen was put to death. Wow. He spent all kinds of time telling these guys, you know, who he was in Jesus and who Jesus Christ really is. And he gave his life up, and he said in verse 48, however, the Most High God, the Most High God does not dwell in houses made by human hands. As the prophet says, heaven is my throne, and the earth is the footstool of my feet. What kind of house will you build for me, says the Lord? Or what place is there now for my repose? Was it not my hand which made all these things? Verse 51, you men who are stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, how are always resisting the Holy Spirit? You are doing just as your fathers did. Skip down to 54. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the quick, and they began gnashing their teeth at him. But being full of the Spirit, he gazed intently into heaven, and he saw the glory of God, and he saw Jesus standing up. He wasn't seated at the right hand of the Father. He was standing up. the right hand of God. Jesus was going, Stephen, you're on. Stephen, you got it. Stephen, that's it. Stephen, you're walking in the fullness of your circumcised heart. You understand. And you're showing with your entire life the very reason why you were created, to display my glory. Oh, so powerful. Jesus stands up at the right hand of God. And they cried out with a loud voice. And they covered their ears and they rushed at him with one impulse. When they had driven him out of the city, they began stoning him. And the witnesses laid aside their robes at the feet of a young man named Saul. Ho! And they went on stoning Stephen as he called on the Lord. And he said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then falling on his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, oh Lord, don't hold this sin against them. And then he died. And Saul was in hearty agreement with putting him to death. But look at verse 56. Behold, I see the heavens opened up and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Look what happened when he read verse 56. Horabashiki. Oh, Jesus, I see you standing up. I see you, Lord, in your glory. My eyes have been designed to see you in your fullness, to understand, to receive you in your glory. Oh, God, you're standing up saying, yes, well done, my son. Yes, you stood for me and you've recognized who you are. And Paul, who wrote the majority in the New Testament, he heard it all. And soon after, became an overwhelming faith follower of Jesus Christ. Because he knew his place. He understood what Jesus did for him. And he didn't compromise that. That's the same that we have today. God has that for us today. Thank you, Jesus. Let's be on our feet as we close. Let's pray. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Oh, if you want to kneel down, you want to come up, you want to respond somehow, do whatever's in your heart. God is saying, I want a switch. I want that switch to go off in your mind. Thank you, Jesus. I want that switch in your heart to change. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Holy Spirit, keep coming. Keep coming, keep coming, keep coming, keep coming. You're doing something supernatural right now. There's a supernatural impartation for this call right now, for a change right now to come into your minds, into your hearts, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I just speak life. I speak Colossians chapter 2 in fullness. This part, Lord God, that we would know that we are crucified with Christ. And it's not I who lives. And I live through your life. Your life in my world is living through me. Nevertheless, Lord, it is not I who lives, but you, Lord, who lives through me. And God says to us that when we believe that we are crucified with Christ, that old nature, that old man is really gone, and there will be the transforming look and power, and the flesh that's talked about in Galatians 2:20 about living in the flesh. I live through the flesh. He's talking about this world, this life that we live, not the fleshly nature. Oh, Lord, I take that for myself right now. And every bit of religious thinking, every bit of religious thinking, every bit of religious overtone right now inside of me, I'm offering to you right now. Some of us have been way too miserable. Some of us have been way too down, way too depressed, looking at the circumstances around us. Colossians 3:1 says, set your mind on things above and not on earthly things. That's even our families. It's not earthly things. Sometimes we think, yeah, that idol over there. Our families can become an idol. That we give more attention to what we think and what we're feeling than what the glory, the Spirit of God is saying in the spirit realm. And therefore we invite the very nature of the one that Jesus took to the cross. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. I give that up to you right now. Thank you, Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. Just come. Do your work. Do your transforming work right now, Lord God. Do your work right now. You do it, Lord God. You do it right now. Holy Spirit, keep coming. Wow. Keep coming, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we don't take this message lightly, who you are. Keep falling right now. Thank you, Lord. We just love you. Let this be transforming for us today. Yes, Lord.
Holy Spirit.
Let us enter into that glory realm.
Come into this heart.
That you have made for us right now. Change me now. Maybe it was a Sunday school teacher when I was small. Oh, maybe it was an instructor. Maybe it was a parent. Maybe it was a book I read. Maybe it's my own thinking I've allowed vain philosophies and deceits, nonsense to come into my life. Oh. I reject that. Just tell him, I reject that, Lord God. I'm willing, Lord God, right now to reject anything that has tried to capture me. Hey, I set my mind on things above. Prophecies, you've rejected the words because of unbelief. You've had teaching, it's good. You've rejected it because of unbelief. Lord says, deal with it today. Release into the Lord's hands. Church next Sunday morning. It's Sunday night. It's 6:30. 6:30 because of our retreat. Come in the evening at 6:30. Holy Spirit, keep coming. Keep coming. Keep coming. We want to agree that this is so, that we are crucified with Christ. And the new nature will reign in my life fully, unreservedly. I will not walk in the futility of the old man, the old woman. I will walk in the newness. Come, we can agree. Just ask the Holy Spirit. Hold on.
Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, make a hole in my heart. Make a hole in my heart. Fill me up. Fill me up, Lord. Fill me
Spirit,
receive more, so much more from your Spirit, in your Spirit. Holy Spirit's here, He is coming near. Let Him make your heart His home. Jesus, Jesus, come close. Jesus, Jesus, come close, come close.
Make it a priority. Pull that paper out and read it again 20 times this week. Oh, that's me, that's me, that's me, that's me. Watch the chains fall off. Yeah. Come Tuesday if you're able. It's another opportunity to just hang with the Lord, and we just start soaring. So, hope to see you. Bless you in Jesus' name. Don't be sad. There's no sadness. in the kingdom. This is a joyful place. Even when he's cleaning house, that's a joy. Don't you love spring cleaning? Amen. Hallelujah.